Welcome to Georgia Tech Week on the Savage Pads podcast. I'm your host, Doug Battle. And on this week's show, the voice of Sanford Stadium, Brooke Whitmire, is joining us to discuss the frustrations of dog fans, his fondest memories of the rivalry, which embodies clean, old-fashioned hate, and his thoughts on UGA's chances at a playoff berth. Then expert panelist Caleb Gwynn will rejoin the show to break down who stood out against A&M, make picks for Rivalry Week, and look ahead to Saturday's Georgia-Georgia Tech showdown. We've got a great show coming up. Stay tuned.
Practice every day.
Man, oh man. Mono ain't mono.
He definitely 6 hour miles, me and myself. As close as we have right now to rope climb.
When we scored, I honestly did not know where I was for about 5 seconds.
Early on, you could see with Jake, you know, just like with Fran talking to him.
Maybe one of the most underappreciated quarterbacks in the country.
And we got to keep feeding the running back.
I don't think we've yet to see the tight ends.
I think Georgia does a great job bringing pressure on third down.
Turn around 2 weeks later in the SEC championship, we look like a completely different team, and we made them look like a completely different team.
I mean, it's hard to get emotional thinking about it.
And it was my job to kind of get outside the corner. And
as soon as I let it go, I knew it was good.
From that point on, I kind of began to trust of Eric Murray as my quarterback.
The kid was just special.
I was saying he was onside.
Everybody respects the specs.
That's what every Georgia fan should hinge their hopes on.
Alabama and Georgia are the best two teams in the country.
I feel like we are the true running back you.
I have great confidence that we're going to see the personification of Georgia football.
Welcome to Georgia Tech Week on the Savage Pads podcast. UGA PA announcer Brooke Whitmire is on the line. Brooke, thank you for joining us.
Doug, thanks for having me. Glad to be with you, as always.
Oh, yeah. It's great to have you. And for those of our listeners that are new to the show, Brooke was one of our fans' favorite guests last year. And you may hear his voice in that intro song, or you may recognize his voice from the intro song, but we pulled quite a few sound bites from that from last year's interview. So, Brooke, I'm sure you have your thoughts on the Texas A&M game from the other day. I know for you it's a little different having to be a professional and just call the game, but as a fan, what are your thoughts on the Dogs' performance against Texas A&M?
Well, Doug, I thought the fans were fantastic. I was concerned, as I'm sure we all were, with the weather forecast the entire week, kept hoping for its change, and it never did. And you always worry, of course, with the rain and the atmosphere, would it be the same as we would hope for it to be? And would it give us that advantage that we all want and need in Sanford Stadium? And I thought it was just a great win for the Dogs. I mean, it's a win is a win. And one thing I've learned along the way is to never apologize for a win. Mm-hmm. And Texas A&M's a good football team. And I was concerned that, gosh, are they catching us at the right time? And is it going to be raining? And will the crowd not be as effective as it normally is? But it certainly was. And it was fantastic. And just, in fact, I started to count, Doug. I would say there were at least, I'd say, three false start penalties that I can think of that I think are directly attributable to the fans and the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And our guys just are finding a way to win. I mean, it's an interesting team, as we all have seen. Every team kind of has its own identity and its own character, but this one finds a way to win, and I think we're right where we need to be, and it's exciting.
Uh-huh. And you mentioned that this team finds a way to win. A lot of fans are of the opinion right now that this team finds a way to almost lose every week. There's been quite a bit of negativity among the fan base. What do you say to those people with Georgia going into these final 2 weeks of the season?
Doug, I'd love to take them back, and it depends on how far folks go back, but I go back far enough. I've lost plenty of times, and there have been plenty of times when I think back to games in the 90s and even since then, where we would be heavy underdogs and we'd play a great game and outplay the other team and maybe even out-coach, out-hustle, whatever, and lose a close game and lose pretty. I'll take winning anytime. And I would say to those fans, don't apologize for winning. 20 years from now, when you look back through the media guide and you remember seasons, all you're going to care about is that we won, and that's what matters. So I candidly, Doug, I don't have a lot of patience for people who apologize for winning. We won the game. That's the object. And at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do. Now, of course, we all want to play as best we can, and we're all looking for best teams to want perfection. You got to remember also, you got an opponent out there. I mean, Auburn, for example, that's a great football team and a very, very difficult place to play. Mm-hmm. That's got a terrific defense, and they rallied. So you've got to give them some credit. So it's been my experience, Doug, most of the time, and there's no science behind this, but just observations through the years. When people complain after winning, usually you never hear of any credit for the opponent. And like my old mentor and hero Dan McGill used to say, their boys are on scholarship too. And in this day and age, the parity throughout the league, you got to be ready to play every Saturday. And every Saturday is different. I mean, it is, not to ramble, but you think about the fact that we just held Texas A&M to negative yards rushing.
Yeah.
They rushed for over 300 yards against South Carolina. And yet against South Carolina, we struggled. Yeah, I mean, it's just every week is different. But if people want to choose to focus on some area of the game, my goodness, let's talk about how we just held Jimbo Fisher coach team to negative yards rushing, and we're 10-1. So I'm thrilled with the win. Yeah, I want to see us score more points. I want to see us be a little smoother in the non-kicking portions of the kicking game, which I think we still are struggling a bit in. But hey, man, we're 10-1, and we're about to play Tech and go play for the championship. So I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I feel like if I look back on my life as a fan and even my time as a student, how many years are we in a position where at the end of the season we essentially control our own destiny in a championship game to win an SEC championship, but to also put ourselves in a position to make the college football playoff. So to me, if we put it together three games straight, you know, after this week, which we'll talk about this week's game as well, but if we put together three well-executed, complete games, finally put it all together, you know, we can win the whole thing. And there are very few years in Georgia's history where Georgia's been in that position, you know, in the grand scheme of things. And so I think it's important to keep that in perspective and to just enjoy being in the position that we're in and be excited about this team. But I like that you mentioned focusing on the defense, because everyone's been talking about Fromm's performance and James Coley, and we talk about that quite a bit on the show because it is an area of concern, but I do feel that we have not given enough credit to this defense and have not focused enough on the historic kind of year that they're having. Now, Brooke, this defense doesn't have a Roquan Smith, surefire top 10 pick type guy or top 15 pick type guy. There may be one of those freshmen, but as far as the upperclassmen, there's not a, you know, surefire first rounder even. What do you think makes this defense so special, and why do you think they've been able to have such success against quality offenses like Texas A&M's?
Doug, it's a great point and a great question. And what I see out there, as you rightly point out, there's no individual superstar, but man, we got a bunch of ballers that just love to play the game, and they're unselfish. For lack of a better word, they play together. We've got depth and speed, don't hurt either, but we just have a bunch of guys that are playing fun. And I think what we're seeing happening, and it's fun to see, is that, gosh, they've just kind of seized on the momentum. They're enjoying it. They're getting better every week, and they respond to the challenge. And it's really quite something to see. And as you know, and as any longtime Dogs know, or any football fans really know, when you can play defense and stop the other guy, you got a chance to do a lot of things. It almost reminds me of putting and golf. If you can roll that rock in golf, you can overcome a lot of things. But if you can't putt it, then you're going to struggle. And it's the same way with defense. It's just, again, we'd love to put people way better, and I'm sure that's exactly what the coaches are working on even as we speak. We want to put people away. We want to make it a little less stressful for all of us, but they've responded to the challenge. And I, to echo what you just said, Doug, for the average fan, and we're all fans, but when you look out there and watch the landscape of college football and how many teams out there are you know, they've won six games, or they've won three games, or they're struggling and they're just hoping to make a bowl, or they're hoping to have a winning season, or just looking for anything. And here we are, as you just described a few minutes ago, in the position that we're in. You got to enjoy this and savor it. But that defense is fun, and I just think, I don't even know if I can answer your question other than to say that they're just a bunch of guys that are having a blast. They love the dogs. They love putting on that G, and they get after it. And that's why we're sitting here where we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think something else to take joy in is the fact that Alabama, Auburn, and arguably Georgia's biggest rival, Florida, would kill to be in the position that we're in right now.
That's
they
right.
would kill for a one-game shot at making the playoff, where they control their
destiny. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Doug, quickly, another thing a buddy of mine, a longtime dog, pointed out to me the other night at the Tech basketball game, you just kind of look at where we are relative to our rivals and where we sit in the Florida series in no particular order. We'll get into rivalry order here in a minute, I'm sure, but in the Florida series, obviously Tech, Auburn, Tennessee, we've turned some things. I mean, we now have a 3 or 4 game edge on Auburn. Gosh, in the 90s, it was all we could do. I mean, we lost so many games to them. We lost nine in a row to Tennessee, really the 80s when we lost most of them to Auburn, and into the 90s. But it's just, we're in a great position right now, and we need to all just stay behind the dogs, and let's keep recruiting, and let's keep getting after it. And who knows, maybe we can really usher in a great era that we'll all look back on with treasure memories. But it is just, gosh, it's important to have fun. I thought the other night, here we are in Sanford Stadium. It's a night game. The place is going crazy. You just got to enjoy that, because it's just, it is a blessing to get to experience that, because, man, when it's not going your way, it can really have a different feel to it.
Yeah, and in your lifetime, you've seen so many of those years. You've had season tickets, as some of our listeners know from your last appearance on here, but you've had season tickets essentially your whole life. You've called all the home games for decades, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
And so you've seen what it's like to see this Georgia team lose several games in a row to Florida, several in a row to Auburn, and it seems like it's been ages, but there was a time when Georgia Tech had Georgia's number, and so that's who we have this week. The tables have obviously turned there, and we're in a really good spot as far as where we are in that rivalry, with recruiting and with our overall record and the status of our program. But Brooke, can you take us back to one of your favorite experiences at or watching a Georgia Tech game?
Good gracious, Doug. There have been some great years, and for you, and I know you recall this, and some of your listeners might, but for me, that series is so special because my dad, who passed away a couple of years ago, grew up, and actually when the rules were different, he was recruiting for Georgia heavily back in the day when Tech won 8 in a row, and there was the famous drought, and it was the exact opposite of the way things are now, so it was made very clear to me growing up in our household who our number one rivalry is and always will be, regardless of the way things are going in the series. Mm-hmm. Doug, I'll go back to 1978, which was the third Tech game I went to, maybe the greatest game ever played in Sanford Stadium, when they had a 28-21 lead. We came back, converted a fourth, a long fourth and down play, got down, scored a touchdown, going into the west end zone there. Tech's up 28-27. And back then, there was no overtime. You're either going for a tie or a win. And Coach Dooley went for the win. And they stopped us going for two, but there was a blatant pass interference penalty, if I recall. And then we had another shot at it, and we ran an option to Amp Arnold, and he ran that ball in. We won 29-28, and I don't think anything will ever top that, although there have been some great ones since then. So you're right, Doug, and I think a lot of Georgia fans, they've never known any different, because I looked at it the other day, in the last 30 years, we have the greatest edge by far in the history of this series, even though Tech had the drought. They never dominated, you know, 2 or 3 decades like we have. So people just don't know. They don't know what it's like to lose to Tech. But I tell people all the time, I got this question the other day, who's our biggest rivalry? And of course, I said, always will be Tech. And they said, oh, no, it's Florida. And I appreciate that. And Florida is 1A. But if anyone doubts that Tech's our biggest rivalry, wait till we lose to them. and then ask me that question the next day, because it is, they're the enemy. We got to beat them. We got to take care of business. And if the line's 29, I want to cover it by about 20 points.
Yeah.
And then go for two and kick an onside kick and score again. That's the way I feel about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Brooke, with all of that in mind, what, in your opinion, is it going to take for this Georgia team? You know, I don't want to look too far ahead, so let's just take it a week at a time. What's it going to take for Georgia to best position themselves this week for a playoff push, and then in the following week to capitalize on that position and to get a big upset win over an LSU team who is highly favored in that one?
Well, with Tag Doug, I think it's senior leadership. It's guys maintaining the focus. It's our coaches, as I'm very confident that they will, doing probably the best coaching job in some respects they're going to have to do all year this week. Maintaining, it's an overused word, but I'll use it again, maintaining that focus and staying disciplined with what it is that we've got to do first and taking care of business. And as always, we got to be sharp. We got to protect the ball. Certainly, we got to establish the run. And hopefully, and I really believe this, Doug, it's not just hopeless optimism, but we've come so close to breaking out on offense here and there during games. And we all kind of naturally remember the negative things, but had some great drives against Auburn. I think that touchdown that Swift scored against Florida, if that doesn't get called back, we might have run out some more points there. So hopefully we have a crisp game against Tech, take care of business. And then with LSU, man, let's just go let it all hang out and have fun. I think with the defense we have in the kicking game, we've more than got a shot. And I just really believe, I don't think that our offense is going to, I don't think we're going to walk out of Mercedes-Benz Stadium thinking that our offense failed to get it done. I just really, I believe that they're going to take care of business. I really do. And I think it's, you know, it's, the formula is always the same. You got to protect the ball. You got to be sound in the kicking game, and you got to avoid those explosive plays, and hopefully make one or two on your own.
Mm-hmm. Well, man, Brooke, just talking to you gets me excited about it. I can't wait, and man, I'm excited for Tech this weekend, and excited for next weekend as well. But Brooke, we appreciate you taking a moment of your time over the holidays to come on here and just share some of your memories and some of your football wisdom with us, and we wish you the best in your off season coming up. I guess you're retired here until next fall.
Got a little break till next fall. That's right. So it was this was year number 28, and they've all been great. But I'm going to tell you something again, Doug. As you well know, these last few people just can't take them for granted, because we're having a lot of fun right now as dogs, and need to keep it going for sure. And I appreciate the chance to be on with you, brother. It's always a pleasure. Go Dogs, Doug. Thanks, man. I'll be a dog till I die. Till I die,
till I die. All right. Now, Caleb Gwynn rejoins the show once again. Caleb, welcome back.
Good to be back. Good to be back.
It's good to have you, Caleb. Man, that was an interesting one on Saturday. It felt like a rerun of the Notre Dame, Florida, and Auburn games, where we get ahead and then we let the other team come back. But we're still going to do our awards for the game like we always do. So Smash Mouth All-Star of the Week. This is the player that best embodies Kirby Smart's demand for physicality, composure, and toughness. Caleb, who stood out to you as someone that embodied those characteristics this week?
Yeah, it's kind of a tough one just because it was a gritty game. There's no true standouts on offense. Fromm had an off day.
Yes.
Pickens had some shining moments, but Swift really, throughout the whole game, was kind of the guy that you wanted to get the ball the whole time, and he delivered. There were a couple of times where he kind of had some odd, at least, attempts to hurdle, which kind of scared me.
I kind of forgot about that until just now, and it just, like, popped into my head, like, him jumping a guy when he was clearly going to get hit by the next guy. So, yeah, he got up there, though, but he also went down pretty hard.
He did. I mean, he's got some jumps for sure. But there was another time, I think it was like probably like the third or fourth play of the game, where he was getting a tackle for loss, and he kind of did like a little hurdle, but didn't hurdle at the same time. And I was like, what the heck was that? But anyway, he's going for the hurdles lately.
Yeah.
But he's the guy.
Yeah. I text Corey, our other correspondent, during the game in that fourth quarter, and I said, you know, this is a paraphrase in case I'm ever like held up in court for this. This isn't my exact words, but I said something along the lines of, we need to feed Swift to seal this game because he looked mad. And he just looked like he was ready to take the game into his own hands and will Georgia to a win. And that's essentially what he did on that last drive. So I absolutely agree with you, Caleb. That is smash mouth football. That is physicality, toughness, composure, Kirby Smart's credo. And on DeAndre Swift's last game in Sanford Stadium, wouldn't expect anything less from him. Hoping to see some of his best performances of the year in the coming weeks, particularly in that LSU game coming up. But on the other side of the ball, Caleb, Savage Pads Player of the Week. This defense, like Brooke and I talked about earlier on the show, has not had a Roquan Smith-type star player, but there's a group of guys playing smash-mouth football on the other side of the ball, some Savage football. Which one deserves the Savage Pads as the Savage Pads Player of the Week?
Yeah, what a gritty game by the defense. You got to get excited about what we got right now. There's some spots where there's kind of been some loose defense in the secondary, in the middle. But the guy that's really starting to come together, in my opinion, is Richard LeCount with that with that strip fumble. That was impressive. Just never giving up on the play, going at it hardcore. And not only that play, but pretty much every play, he's just – his energy, he's just fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree. He's really come into his own the second half of the season, and it seems to finally be the elite safety that we all knew he could be. And the timing couldn't be better, obviously, with some very important football games coming up. One thing that stood out to me, Caleb, that you mentioned was him ripping at the ball kind of after the play had really South Carolina beat us on the play where we got that fumble that helped us win the turnover battle in the game. But if you look closely, those defensive backs, LeCount, J.R. Reed, D.J. Daniel, a lot of those guys at the end of almost every play are ripping for that football. Like, they are trained to do that. And sometimes to a fault, sometimes they'll go for the ball when they need to just tackle the guy and they let them stay on their feet because they're just ripping at the ball. But there are times when it pays off, and we saw that on Saturday. One of the plays that changed the course of the game, Richard LeCount once again being a big-time player for the Dogs. I want to wrap up our awards here with the player who ran through the banner, Rodrigo Blankenship, our special teams shout out. Caleb, I don't want to say last words for Rod like he's dying, but any thoughts on Rodrigo's years in Athens and him having played his last game at Sanford Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, what a legend, Joe. I mean, you think back to his early years, first couple of years, he was a walk-on. And there was kind of some controversial stuff with his dad, him possibly leaving. But you got to give it to him for just sticking it through and working really hard. You can tell how hard of a worker he is. He's got the talent, he's got the leg, and all that was left for him really was to push through that little barrier, and he did. It just goes to show just sticking with it and grinding it out. And he is now one of the best kickers in Georgia history. And, you know, I've heard some draft talk of him going pretty high in the draft for a kickers. He's one of those guys that we will never forget and always remember as a dang good dog.
I like that, Caleb. It's rivalry week now, and we've got a big pick six coming up. I have drifted ahead of you here recently. So I've got 46 points on the season and you have 42. So you've got to make up. Basically, you've got to beat me by four games these, last 2 weeks of Georgia's season and then either hopefully, you know, two playoff games or just a bowl game there at the end. So 3 to 4 weeks for you to make up those 4 points. And the good thing for you is we've got some good matchups this week that are really tough picks. And I'm going to start with the Iron Bowl. Alabama playing on the road at Jordan-Hare at Auburn. Two quarterbacks in this one looking for their first signature SEC win in Mac Jones and Bo Nix. And Bama's looking to keep their playoff hopes alive. A lot of people are writing them off. I mean, they're number five. In my opinion, they may have better odds of making it than Georgia, which, of course, we want Georgia to win that game. But from an odds perspective, I don't see all the negativity being justified as far as this Alabama team is concerned. Auburn's just looking to spoil the season of one of their big brother schools because they got two of them, and one of them's Alabama. But it's their most hated rival, and they pretty much live for this. I mean, this is their Super Bowl. Everyone's expecting a battle here. I'm here in Alabama at the moment, and talked to some Alabama and Auburn fans today, and they both feel good about this one. So that's how it always is. But Caleb, who do you feel good about in the Iron Bowl?
Well, this one's tough for me because you don't really know what's going on with Alabama with Mac.
Right.
And I'm guessing you're probably going to go with Alabama, and I am a competitive person, and I want to beat you in this match here. So I'm going to pick Auburn at home to hopefully to kind of come back on you on this on this race here.
Yeah, well, you'll get a shot too because I am going with Alabama. Mac Jones has looked at least serviceable. He will have a hard time against that defensive line under some pressure, but Bama has the ability to run the ball better than most people think, in my opinion. I see them playing a Georgia-style football game and beating Auburn that way and absolutely wrecking Auburn. I can't decide who I want to pull for in this one because I never pull for Auburn ever. That's just like basic rule of thumb. But I'm also concerned that Gus Malzahn will get fired if Auburn loses. So I'm like, maybe in the long run, the best way to pull against Auburn is to pull for Auburn in this one to keep Gus Malzahn on the hot seat, but on the seat nonetheless. So I think I'm going to pull for Auburn for the first time, maybe ever. God, I feel awful saying that. I honestly might cut that from the show because like one day I'm going to regret saying that. But anyway, it's an interesting situation on the plains. Next game, another huge rivalry. Number two, Ohio State on the road at Michigan. Michigan has not lost at home this year, but they also haven't beaten Ohio State under Jim Harbaugh. So Ohio State, as we all know, has looked like the best team, one of the best teams in the country all season. For that reason, I'm going with Ohio State. They just seem to have Michigan's number under Harbaugh. Would love to be wrong, though, because I would love to somehow not have to play them in the playoff if we make it. But, Caleb, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I agree. I think Ohio State, for me, kind of solidified that best team in the nation classification with that game last week against Penn State, even though that it wasn't like a blowaway game. Penn State was, you know, high-quality competition, and they handled them.
Sure.
But yeah, I think Michigan just doesn't really have a shot, in my opinion. They're not that great of a team still, in my opinion. I think Ohio State is probably the best team in the nation. So this one should be pretty good for Ohio State.
Yeah. Okay, next couple, we will pick up the pace here just to stay on schedule and because these games are less interesting. Number 8, Oklahoma at number 22, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma survived TCU this week on a controversial call. And in recent weeks, they've lost to Kansas State, beaten Iowa State by 1, beaten Baylor by 3 in a dramatic comeback, and beaten TCU by 4, like I said, on a controversial call. Oklahoma State has won 4 straight against conference opponents, and they are looking to spoil the playoff hopes of their in-state rival, just like Auburn is. Caleb, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I'm going again for the competition here. I'm thinking you're going to go Oklahoma, so I'm going to go Oklahoma State so that I can catch you on this thing. I think Oklahoma is the better team, but because of Oklahoma's questionable performances in the past, coming close games, I'm going to go with Oklahoma State, kind of catch you on this competition we got going here.
Yeah, Oklahoma seems to have been on a negative trajectory in recent weeks. But I'm going with Oklahoma. I believe in Lincoln Riley and that Oklahoma is going to give themselves at least a decent shot at making the college football playoff, put themselves in the argument. If they're to win this one and win their conference, they could potentially jump Alabama for that 5 or 4 spot, depending on what happens in the SEC championship game and what happens with Clemson. So I think they're going to do what it takes, because that's what they've done in recent years. Next one, in-state rivals 3, Clemson at South Carolina. Clemson has quietly beat down a plethora of inferior opponents in the second half of the season. And they're primed for another playoff run, bearing a late season upset. I think it's funny. Nobody's talking about Clemson. I get it. They haven't played anyone good, at least not recently. But, I mean, it's still the defending national champions. They're absolutely whooping teams. And I think if Georgia were doing the same thing against the same competition, we'd be very excited. Yet, we're not scared of Clemson at all. So, it's just kind of an interesting thing to me. Caleb, Clemson, South Carolina. South Carolina's shown they can take down a big team, top 4 team. Clemson's shown they can take care of an inferior opponent. Who's your pick?
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. Clemson, we kind of hadn't really talked about them at all this year, defending champions. But I would probably think about USC a little bit more if they were trending upwards, especially right, being at home. But I think Clemson's got a handle on this one. It might be close for a little while, but I think Clemson will pull away with this one pretty strong.
Yeah, I fully expect Clemson to take care of business, as they have all throughout the season. Because as much as you want to complain about their strength of schedule, what they've done is they've taken care of inferior opponents. And that's something that Georgia did not do against South Carolina. So worth noting with Clemson. I haven't written them off yet. Number 14, Wisconsin at 11, Minnesota. After being eliminated from the playoff following losses to Illinois and Ohio State, which was a beatdown, Wisconsin's won 3 straight. Minnesota recently bounced back from their loss to Iowa with a 16-point victory over Northwestern. So these are 2 teams that at one point were really serious playoff contenders and at this point are pretty much out of the mix, but they're fighting for a shot at least, and if nothing else, just getting a really good bowl game and just having some pride. Caleb, which one do you choose?
Yeah. I'm gonna go with Wisconsin. I think they have a little more experience with bigger games like this. Played a little bit better competition. I think they'll be ready for Minnesota.
I agree for all the same reasons. Wisconsin's my pick as well. Next game, number 24, Texas A&M at number 1, LSU. We all saw Texas A&M last week. LSU has continued lighting teams up. It's worth noting that last year, this LSU team fell to A&M on the road in a 74-72. This is in football. 74-72 overtime. I think, how many overtime? I think it was like 7 overtimes, but I might be exaggerating. But 7 overtime classic. We're sticking with it. It was called by former show guest Matt Stinchcomb, who we actually spoke with a few weeks after that. And this one's taking place in Baton Rouge. So LSU is going to get a revenge shot on their home field. And Coach O saying, I'm not even going to try to say his voice, but he's saying LSU is going to be ready. We'll get Corey for that next week. That's enough for me to pick LSU. Caleb, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, wouldn't it be wild if A&M took LSU off? But I was very impressed with A&M in that playing at home at Georgia.
Yeah.
Their offense handled our defense fairly well.
I think they're going to move the ball in this one. I think they're going to score some points.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
I think this game will really get some good film for
yes,
Georgia's coaches to kind of to digest for the big game.
I agree.
In a couple weeks. So I think this game just benefits us in all ways. It'll give us a good blueprint for how to attack LSU's defense.
Yeah.
But I do think LSU will win this game. I think A&M has a good shot to put some numbers on them, though.
Yeah, LSU's not a team that seems like they're going to look ahead. I mean, they seem really zoned in and taking the season a week at a time. But Texas A&M feels better than their record is. They feel like they have the kind of offense that can score some points on LSU's defense. Feels like their defense isn't terrible, so maybe they can do something good against LSU's offense. I kind of doubt that much, but we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting. But like you said, I do think it'll give this Georgia team somewhat of a blueprint of how to expose LSU's weaknesses on defense. And that's pretty valuable in a week where I doubt our opponent will be able to do the same for LSU. And that brings us to our extra point. number four, Georgia on the road at Mark Richt Field at Georgia Tech, also known as Bobby Dodd Stadium. Georgia Tech's coming off a big third win of the year against NC State. As some of you may have heard from their starting quarterback, he's confident that they're going to win this game. They're going to be ready. Georgia, as we know, is coming off another ugly win. So we're complaining about our, 10th win of the season. And Georgia Tech, they're excited about their third. And that tells you all you need to know about these two fan bases. Caleb, let's do a 3-2-1 where we pick the final score. You ready?
Let's do it.
This is the extra point. You need this one. So you've been losing these. So this is your shot. 3-2-1. 33-0.
Wow.
Every time. We're like two peas in a pod.
Did you get it? Did you hear mine?
Yeah, I did. Did you hear mine?
Okay. What, 33 to what?
Zero.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah, we're going. I haven't been calling those kind of scores here, but I really believe in this Georgia defense. I've watched Georgia Tech only against Clemson, and they looked like they wouldn't be the kind of team that could score against this Georgia defense. So I'm going with the shutout going into the SEC championship. I know a lot of people are hoping to see the offense just light it up and really get into full swing, get some momentum going into that SEC championship game. I just don't expect that in this one. I expect a vanilla game plan, just enough to get by. We know we can hold them on defense. As long as we're up by 7, we're probably going to win. That's how Georgia's approached recent games. I don't see them taking a different approach to this one. I think fans are going to only get a glimpse of Georgia taking their best shot on offense when they have to do that, likely in the SEC championship game. That's my opinion. We'll see what happens. Caleb, what are your thoughts on Georgia Tech?
Yeah, I think the same thing that you were just saying. I think we're going to hold everything back, play it safe, keep everybody healthy, run the ball, and not show anything to LSU that we don't want them to see before we play them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, why waste your good plays on a cupcake team or on any of your regular season games? Because Georgia's been saving all the good plays for LSU. I'm sticking to that. They're going to just light it up against LSU and have this like 2012 Georgia offense that we all wish they had. And it'll be like, oh, we've had it this whole time. They've just been saving all their plays just for this game. So looking forward to that one, but hoping, they just take care of business, are able to get some starters out in this one and get rested up. I wouldn't play Cager or Stokes or anyone that's a concern injury-wise. I think we're good enough to win without those guys in this one. And I think the game that will be played a week from Saturday is such a monumental game that it'd be worth taking that risk. We'll see what happens, but looking forward to another chapter of the Georgia Tech clean old-fashioned hate rivalry. And that brings us to the close of this episode. Caleb, as always, enjoy having you on here. To our listeners, thank you for listening. For real, like, it's awesome that you guys listen to us and you know that you love the dogs as much as we do. If you're going to the game, please travel safe. Please represent Georgia well. And if you're watching from home, we'll be doing that too, most likely. I say that like every time that I end up going, but that's the plan. So, you know, enjoy Thanksgiving and time with your families and some good food and some good football. And we'll see you next week for SEC Championship Week. Oh, one last thing. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.